Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida neighborhood. I'm Colby. And North Florida neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we get to chat with is Eileen Briggs. She's the Chief Development Officer for Sulzbacher. Eileen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Before we kind of dive into everything, first, can you give us an overview on who the Sulzbacher is?
Sure. Well, we've been around for 25 years. Serving the Jacksonville community. And we were started in the 90s. There really was an explosion of homelessness really across the country in the 90s. And so some community leaders got together, the United Way, the city of Jacksonville. And what they wanted was to have a center of services where someone who was experiencing homelessness could go and they could receive everything that they needed. They could receive a warm bed and a hot meal and a case manager to help them and medical care. And so we were born out of that. And over the past 25 years, we've grown exponentially. The community in Jacksonville is incredibly compassionate, and they have really supported our growth through those 25 years. And, you know, what we have today is we call ourselves Housing, Healthcare, and Hope for People in Need. And so our services have grown and really expanded to respond to the need.
This is going to be super broad, but what do you think is the most change you've seen in the past 25 years?
I would say the main thing that we have seen is the shift from people who are experiencing homelessness being primarily single men back in the 90s to what we've seen for the past, I would say, 10 years at least, is the explosion of families, particularly single women with young children. So at this point, for the people that are coming to us seeking emergency shelter, we are typically seeing a young woman with two or maybe three young children, school age or preschool age children. And so the need has really changed. As you can imagine, serving someone like that, a family unit like that, we're going to have different services and a different approach. So that really has been surprising to us, and it really continues. And, you know, with the pandemic happening, and we've seen on the news about how so many more women have lost their jobs, and mothers are now, you know, having to teach their kids homeschool. We're continuing to see that now with the eviction moratorium. When that is lifted, we're anticipating having an even greater need when that happens.
Now, currently, as we've kind of shifted from the growth that you've experienced, what services do you offer to both men, women, and children?
So we offer housing, a really full, broad spectrum of housing, from someone who is literally on the streets or sometimes sleeping in their car. They can come to us. We can give them an emergency bed. They can continue to stay in that bed as long as they need to until we can get them into a more permanent housing situation. We have a really large network, probably about 250 scattered site apartments throughout the community of Jacksonville. And we've had those for many years, and those are serving people who have either a serious mental health disorder or some other kind of physical disability. We're able to use HUD funding from the federal government to subsidize those rents and then offer supportive services so that these people can maintain that housing and not come back into a homeless situation. We also have a permanent housing site at our Sulzbacher Village campus, which opened back in 2018, and we have 70 units of affordable housing at that location. We were very, very proud to be able to add 70 units of affordable housing to the housing stock in Jacksonville when that location opened, because if there's just a huge need, and we have a huge waiting list for all of our housing opportunities. So, you know, we could build 3 more villages and we would still be able to fill them up. So that's the housing end of the spectrum. Probably the most basic service that we provide is meals, and that we have been doing since day one. We have been providing meals to anyone in the community who's hungry, can come for lunch or dinner to our downtown location, and they will be served a warm meal and be able to, you know, sit in our dining area and have that meal. And if they're interested, they can, we can, you know, enroll them in additional services. But at that service, we actually have people who do have housing that come to us because they can't afford both rent and food. And so they choose to pay their rent and their electric bill, and then they come to us for food. We even have families with children that get in that line, which is unfortunate. And then in addition to those services, probably over 50% of what we do now is healthcare. So we have had a health clinic since about a year after we opened. We started providing health services at our downtown location, and that program has just grown amazingly. We are a federally qualified health center, which means that we get the bulk of our funding from the federal government to provide free or sliding fee scale health care to anyone in the community who needs it. So we do serve people who are homeless or at risk of being homeless, but we take insurance. We can serve everybody. And what is really unique about our healthcare services is that we have primary care, behavioral health, dental, and vision, and it's all under one roof. So that is something that doesn't exist anywhere else in our community. I don't know about you, but you know, my doctor never talks to my dentist.
No.
So to be able to have all of those people under one roof and coordinating care, you know, particularly for people who have chronic conditions like diabetes, or those types of things, really is a unique service. So we're really proud of our clinic at the downtown location. We have a satellite location at the beach. And then when we opened our Sulzbacher Village location, we opened up a pediatric health center for the children there. So that's kind of the broad overview of all the things that we do in town.
And I'm so glad you were broad, because just out of ignorance, I assume that y'all were just a homeless shelter. And you're saying, no, we're so much more to so many more people.
Yeah.
Even if you have a home, or even if you have a car, or even if you don't need food, you guys offer so many things in so many different areas.
Yeah, we do. And that's a really common reaction, like you had it. You know, we do tours. We're not doing tours right now, but we will do tours again. And we bring people through the facility and show them what we do and talk about it at the same time. And that's exactly what they said. In fact, we quote it. They say, I had no idea, because we do so much. Yeah. Especially the clinic. It really is a beautiful facility. And the village as well is brand new, and it's really a beautiful housing community.
You're really like a one-stop shop, but where do you think you guys meet the most needs at? In what area?
I would say the emergency shelter is a really critical need. And, you know, we've seen that people who are visible, you know, the visibly street homeless people that you see when you're driving around town, that need is huge. And there are not enough beds in town to support everybody who would need them. So we do unfortunately have to turn people away for our emergency beds, and we have wait lists for those, and I believe the other shelters in town do as well. So that's a really critical, it's really the foundation of what we do, is to provide that emergency housing when people are in crisis, bring them in, assess them, and get them into the other services that we need. That service, and then the healthcare is huge. If you think about, you know, all the conversation around healthcare these days, on a national level, about the uninsured and the fact that Florida does not have expanded Medicaid access for people who are living in poverty, particularly single men. So typically these people will either not go to the doctor at all, because they can't get into a doctor because they don't have insurance and they can't pay for it, or they just wait until they're very sick and then they go to the emergency room. And that really is a drag on the hospital's funding to continue to serve people for free who are not insured and not able to pay. And the hospitals have to write those costs off, which is, you know, it hurts their financial situation. So to have a clinic like ours downtown at the beach, at the Village, where someone can come and receive all of these high quality healthcare services, dental, we can give them dentures, we can give them eyeglasses. If someone is experiencing a mental health problem, we can provide them with medications for depression or anxiety, something that would be really key to having a person be able to function in their life. They come in and they know either it's free or it's on a sliding scale and they will be able to afford it. So something as small as, you know, $10, $25 to be able to get something like eyeglasses or dentures, it really is huge. And it's allowing a lot of people who aren't homeless to maintain the house that they're in. So it really is a wonderful prevention program as well in that regard.
And do you find that people are a lot more apt to come and go to the doctor or doctors or go to the dentist when they know that it's not going to charge them an arm and a leg since they don't have insurance?
Absolutely. And we are a referral source for so many other agencies. You know, if someone is working with the food bank, for example, or if they are, you know, interacting with the Department of Children and Families or any other organization, you know, the churches in town, they know that if one of their church members has a financial hardship and they've lost their job, they've lost their insurance, they know that they can send them to us. And, you know, I've seen it time and again where people really feel like they don't know where to go for health care. They're having to delay health care or just not get it at all, and then come to us and realize, oh, wow, there is a place for me. You know, this organization really cares, and we have wonderfully caring staff that can help people navigate all of the complexities of healthcare. We actually have people that work on something called a patient assistance program, which is a program that almost all of the pharmaceutical companies have. If you get prescribed a medication and you don't have any insurance, you know, it's going to cost an arm and a leg most times. And we have caseworkers that work directly with the clients to get them enrolled in these programs so that they can get free medication. You know, if you have no income, you're going to qualify, but navigating that process can be, you know, pretty tricky, especially for someone in crisis. So we have people that specifically help our patients get the medications that they need, which are life-saving in some cases. So it's just really, it's wonderful to see the stories. You know, we like to tell the individual stories of someone who, you know, really thought that they had no hope anymore. And then they come to us, we're able to help them. They get stabilized on their medication, and, you know, they're very, very thankful. It's really a wonderful thing to see.
Well, again, I have the privilege of chatting with Eileen Briggs, the Chief Development Officer for Soulsbacher. And Eileen, you were just talking about these stories that you're able to share of just life-changing events in these people's lives. Can you give me a specific story where you saw just the success roll through, and most of it's because the Soulsbacher was at the core of that?
We do. It's a story that we told at one of our events a couple of years ago of a gentleman, and he had his own apartment. He had a small income that he was living on, and he had a serious issue with diabetes. And he was seeing a doctor, but the insurance was not covering the medications that he needed. And he said to us that he had decided that he was just going to go ahead and die. He couldn't afford the medicine. He didn't want to be a burden on his children, his adult children. And he said he'd had a good life, and he was just ready to go ahead and die so that he wouldn't be a burden on his kids. And then a friend of his said, you need to go downtown to Sulzbacher and see the doctor at Sulzbacher. And we got him in, and he truly says that we saved his life. So those kind of stories, you know, it makes everything worthwhile that we're doing.
Oh my gosh. Yes, because like I said from the beginning, you see Sulzbacher as a homeless shelter, but no, it's something as minor, but in this man's life, major, not being able to afford his medicine.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really a wonderful program. The doctors and nurses that work in our clinics, you know, they're very caring. And, you know, if you think about a medical professional, they can kind of choose where they want to work. If you're a doctor or a nurse, you know, you can go work in a different setting. And so they're just wonderful people that care about the clients, and they care about the mission. And, you know, it's just a great group of people down there.
So what is the Sulzbacher mission?
So our mission is to empower homeless and at-risk women, children, and men through health, housing, and income services, thereby restoring hope and self-sufficiency. And our tagline is housing, healthcare, and hope. And we changed that a couple of years ago to add that, just to emphasize the healthcare part, because like you said, people didn't realize that about half of our organization really is dedicated to healthcare. And then the housing part really represents kind of a shift that we've made over the last 25 years to adopt what we call a housing first approach. So when we first started, we brought people into an emergency shelter, we assessed them, you know, we said, okay, well, you need to get a job, you know, you need to do this and this and this, and if you do all these things right, then you get an apartment. But there's been a shift, it's a national shift, and there's been a lot of studies on this to show that, you know, if you have the housing subsidy available, it really makes more sense to take that person almost immediately off the street and put them into the apartment. That way, they are able to accomplish their goals much quicker. I mean, if you just think about it, if you can put yourself in the person's shoes and think, you know, if you're living in a homeless shelter and you're sharing a room with a bunch of people you don't know, you're probably not sleeping really well. You know, what's your mood going to be like? How are you going to feel versus if you're in your own apartment and, you know, you have a few months of time where you can get your business together, get a job, whatever it is. So that housing first model really has been a shift for us. And that's why our tagline emphasizes those three things. So housing, healthcare, and hope. And the hope just represents all the, you know, all of the good things that we pour into people so that they can be successful.
One thing, Eileen, this is something I wonder, how do you determine who gets placed in an apartment? Like, and then do you just give them a certain amount of time and say, hey, if you don't have a steady income by this date, like, I'm sorry, but you have to leave. What's the protocol for that?
Well, our housing mix is really, it's kind of like a patchwork quilt of programs that are funded mostly through HUD, but there are a variety of funding sources for the housing that we have. And, you know, a certain program is going to be for people who have a physical disability. We have a program specifically for veterans. We have programs specifically for families with children. So there really isn't a general, you know, oh, you have to be by this date. It really is dependent upon that person. For example, somebody that has a severe and persistent mental illness is going to be on disability. And so we're going to be able to move them into apartment with their disability funding coming in, and that's going to be a permanent placement for them. For the single men who don't have disabilities, it's going to look a little different. And we wouldn't necessarily be able to provide them a subsidy for a long period of time. So we really don't have, like, you know, our services, we always try to tailor them to the person as much as possible and individualize them. You know, the common denominator with all of them is that they are either homeless or about to be homeless. So we can actually work with some people who have pending evictions or something like that too.
I really appreciate how you didn't just give a straight up answer, but how basically you said it depends on the situation because every situation is so different.
Right.
Y'all do so much for the community. What can your community do for you?
Well, I'll say Jacksonville is an incredibly compassionate community. So we have a fundraiser every year called Transformations, where we tell stories about the people whose lives have been transformed at our organization. And we get donations from the community, from local businesses, from churches. It really is a wonderful group effort where everybody comes together for our big annual fundraiser. We weren't able to have it in person last year. Obviously, we had a virtual one. But this year, we are hopeful to have it in person. So, you know, we love for people to come to that, to be able to hear about more about what we do. That's always a great night to celebrate everything that we do. The other wonderful thing that the community does for us is the volunteering. Our volunteer program is really robust. There's a wide variety of volunteer opportunities that we have. The most basic that I'll highlight, which I think is, you know, to me the most compelling, if I was volunteering, that's what I would want to do, is to serve a meal. Mm-hmm. So we have volunteer groups come in, and this has been happening since 1995. We actually have some groups that have been coming once a month since 1995 to serve a meal to our clients. And you get a group of people together, so maybe 8 to 10 people. We have like churches, for example, and then that church community will sign up a different group every month. And you come in and you prepare the meal and you serve and you clean up. And it really is, if you can think about what's more, you know, satisfying than giving someone a warm meal, you know, when they're hungry, when they're lined up for a meal. So we love to have new groups come in. We usually have, open spots for that. Right now we're closed for volunteers, but with all the vaccination going on, you know, we really hope that that'll be opening back up soon. And you can just go to our website and click on Get Involved, and it'll have a list of the different volunteer opportunities that we have.
And you said go to your website. What's the best website for that?
So it's soulsbackerjacks.org. That's S-U-L, Z as in zebra, B-A-C-H-E-R. JAX.org.
All right. Well, Eileen, thank you so much for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at Jacksonville.radio.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialist on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
How can I make sure my office never stops working?
With Staples Connect, it's possible.
I need to keep my back office stocked without messing up my bottom line.
Also possible, because Staples Connect has your small business covered with big savings on everything you need to get work done. This week, earn 30% back and a Staples store bonus when you buy any two ink cartridges. Explore what's new at your local Staples or staplesconnect.com. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. Limit 4, in-store only. Visit staplesconnect.com/store bonus for details. N626.
Panera favorites are hot and ready to serve for dinner. Taste our creamy mac and cheese served in a crispy bread bowl. Or the classic bacon turkey Bravo featuring our signature sauce. How about our new mouth-watering chipotle chicken and bacon flatbread pizza? These and other favorites are waiting for you. Order dinner tonight for delivery or pickup. Only at Panera. Availability and pricing may vary.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hey, and welcome to North Florida neighborhood. I'm Colby. And North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors and hearing what really sweet stuff they're doing with us and for us in our community. And today, the neighbor we get to chat with is Dee Wilcox. She's with Ann Ruth Foundation. Dee, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Colby. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Dee, give me a rundown on who the Ann Ruth Foundation is for.
Yeah, so it is the Annie Ruth Foundation. I actually named it after my grandmother, who's no longer with us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, but in honor of her, I named the foundation after her. And what we are is a nonprofit 501c3 organization that was established in 2012. Our mission is to serve as a catalyst of positive change in underserved communities, providing forums and workshops that are focused on education, health initiatives, and economic development.
And so you said this was named after your grandmother. Why her?
Yeah, so when I was a child, everyone called my grandmother Annie Ruth. So I thought that was her name, but when I got a little older, I asked my mom, and is Big Mama's name Annie Ruth? And my mom said, no, it's Ruth Kearney. And I said, well, why did everybody call her Annie Ruth? And she said, oh, they were saying Auntie Ruth. But that was the name that was near and dear to my heart and just stuck with me. So when I decided to launch a nonprofit organization and wondered what would I call it, I just had fond memories of my grandmother and decided to name it after her.
And so how are you guys able to place these students in a professional environment that hopefully aligns with their career aspirations?
So what you're referring to, Kobe, is our summer internship program. And what this is a points-based program that provides a platform for high school students to develop personal, academic, and professional development skills. What we do is we engage the students for an entire year, and during this time, what they do is they complete an application, of course. They write a 1,000-word essay that's focused on their career aspiration, and they complete 30 hours of classroom instruction. Now, at the very end of the program, and our program year ends in May of every year, we take a look at the point, and from that, we determine who gets to move on to phase two of the program. Phase two of the program is where we place the student in that safe professional environment that directly aligns with their career aspiration.
Dee, I know for a lot of students, especially in high school, they're not really sure what they want to be when they grow up. So how do you help them filter and kind of find out what their passions are?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we do over the course of the year, we only meet once a month, and we call those meetings business seminars. We bring in community leaders from all over the First Coast, and we also bring in subject matter experts. The community leaders interact with the students, pretty much sharing snippets of their life that position them to be successful. Mm. And then the subject matter experts, they come in and actually facilitate workshops. Each month we have a different topic, therefore there's a different workshop that we're focused on. An example of that is April. April is National Financial Literacy Month. Our partnership with Community First Credit Union, they bring in representatives from their financial institution, and they teach the students about budgeting, of course, financial investing, money management, you name it, everything dealing with finances. So again, through these relationships, our community partners and our subject matter experts, the students are exposed to all types of career aspirations. Now, they've already come into the program thinking they know what they want to become, mm-hmm. right? But sometimes, depending on who's in and who's interacting with them, it may allow them to kind of explore other options that exist as well. And then I mentioned at the very end of the program, when we select the students who are moving forward to the next phase of the program, we place them in those environments, and then they get to have hands-on experience so that they can then make a more informed decision as to whether or not, yeah, this is the career choice for me, or I think I need to explore my plan B. This is nothing like I thought it would be.
And Dee, how can students get signed up for something like this? Like, this is huge in figuring out what you want to major in and where you want to invest your time and your money.
Absolutely. So we are currently accepting applications for our 2022 summer internship program. And we call it 2022, although we're in 2021, because when the program ends and it's time to place these students, they'll work during the summer of 2022. So if there's any students out there, high school juniors or seniors, all they have to do is go to our website, which is www.sowingseeds, that's SOWINGSEEDS.today. So again, that's www.sowingseeds.today.
And this is just one of the many programs that the Annie Ruth Foundation offers. What are some of your other programs?
Yeah, so we actually offer three programs through our foundation. One of the programs is called CLUB. CLUB is an acronym which stands for Children Learning Ultimate Behaviors. This program is offered to youth ages 8 through 18, and it focuses on character development. The program emphasizes those things that are very much needed, but over time has pretty much been eliminated from classroom instruction. Character traits such as respect, honesty, forgiveness, responsibility. Those are just a few. But every time we interact with the students, we introduce a different trait. We talk about the definition. We talk about how it's used in action. We have the students to journal. And then the next time we meet with the students, we give them an opportunity to show us or share with us how they actually put that character trait in action. We also have our Stay Healthy program. This is our health and wellness initiative. And with this program, we actually partner with the Extension Office and the Florida Department of Health in Duval County. We go into elementary schools that are located in designated food deserts, and we teach the students the importance of eating healthy and exercising routinely, all in an effort to minimize the possibility of being diagnosed with preventable illnesses and diseases.
So Dee, I want to backtrack a little bit, hitting on the club first. A lot of the character development things you spoke on, I mean, I feel like most of us kind of learn that in the home. So is there just a certain need in the kids that you're targeting for these character development skills?
Absolutely. So back to our mission. Our mission is to serve as a catalyst of positive change in underserved communities. So we target communities such as Monaco Arms and University Plaza and Valencia Way, formerly known as Eureka Gardens. These are those communities that are pretty much underserved, right? So we go into these communities and we form relationships with the residents and we offer these programs to the children because sometimes, as you mentioned, pretty much those character traits are developed in the home, but sometimes that's just not an option for some of our communities. So yeah, those are our targeted areas.
And one of the words you used, or I guess a phrase, food desert, that's where you go and implement the stay healthy within the elementary schools. What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. So a food desert are those communities that don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables like a lot of our affluent neighborhoods do. They have stores, but the stores sell candy and gum and sodas and stores such as Publix and Winn-Dixie's, they're miles away. So that's why they're deemed food deserts, because the fresh fruits and vegetables, those things that are needed to nourish the body and allow the youth and the residents in general to stay healthy, just don't exist in those communities. So again, we target those elementary schools and we go there and we educate them and we bring in all types of fruits and vegetables, some of them which the students have never even heard of or have eaten before. And we give them sample packets of these fruits and vegetables so that they can try and develop a taste for them and things of that nature. Now, with the fruits and vegetables, we also partner with Tidbits. Clara at Tidbits, she actually washed the fruit and prepared the fruit and cut the fruit up and bag it up so that when we go into the elementary schools, we can provide safe samples for the students to enjoy.
And Dee, you're able to cover so many areas for these kids, but just to kind of put it in perspective for us, what kind of backgrounds are these kids coming from that they need all of this assistance?
Well, with our summer internship program, we market to the entire school board, Duval County schools and surrounding counties as well. So the backgrounds vary vastly. They come from underserved communities as well as extremely affluent communities. So with the club program, that's the one where we specifically mm-hmm. target the underserved communities. And also the Stay Healthy program, as I mentioned, those are the elementary schools that are in the designated food desert. So those are the underserved communities as well. So the Annie Ruth Foundation in general, we definitely serve as that catalyst of positive change in underserved communities, but we do have the program, the summer internship program, that is all inclusive, and it doesn't matter what the socioeconomic background is. We market to all students, high school students, that is 11th and 12th graders in Duval and surrounding counties.
Again, I have the privilege of chatting with Dee Wilcox. She's with the Annie Ruth Foundation. And Dee, y'all have your hands in so many different avenues and are able to serve our community in so many different ways. But are you able to share a success story, whether it's somebody that you met through club or the Stay Healthy event, or even someone that kind of flourished within the summer internship program?
Yeah, sure. Of course. Thank you so much. The first person that comes to mind, and it's a great representation of our summer internship program, the young man's name is Jacobin. He came through our program with the aspiration of wanting to become an aeronautical engineer.
Oh, wow.
Ultimately becoming a pilot. Yeah. So we placed him at Sterling Flight School with Scott and Mindy Malone. They took Jacobin in and they allowed him to complete a 6-week internship there. They taught him all aspects of the aircraft. They taught him from an administrative perspective how to run the organization. And they also took him up in the plane with flight lessons, the whole nine. He had a very well-rounded experience there. So when we brought the students back together, as we do at the very end of their internship experience, we bring them back for what we call a post-experience celebration. And the students have an opportunity to share with their peers how their internship experience went. So it was Jacobin's turn, and he said, "I had an amazing experience." He said, "But Ms. D, I no longer want to become a pilot." And I said, "Okay, sure, Jacobin, share with us, what changed your mind." And he said, "Although my experience was amazing, when I got up in that plane, I thought I was going to die."
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I like to share that because it just proves how significant this program is. Now, Jacobin would have eventually discovered his fear of flying, right? But it would have been done much later after he invested a lot of time and money pursuing that particular career aspiration. Jacobin is at the University of Florida now, and his career aspiration at this point is to become a psychiatrist. So he did a 160-degree turnaround.
Oh, yeah.
But that's one of the amazing stories that we have. And again, it just plays into the fact that this program is, first of all, it's a life-changing experience for the students. The parents always say, the child I had when he first or she first entered the program and the child I have after graduating from the program, totally different in terms of the maturity level. Again, they get to network with all the students in the program. They get to network with the community leaders and the subject matter experts, and then they get that hands-on experience and this dream job, right? And then, like I said, at the very end, they're just so much more mature, able to articulate better than they were able to when they came into the program, and all types of other skills that they learned. It's just a tremendous program and very valuable to the student.
Oh, my gosh. I love that story. It's humorous, but it's so true. And do you find that there's a certain goal or a certain passion that kind of links all of the kids together?
Well, what I find is that over 50% of the student population every year aspire to go into the medical profession. And that's great because we have partnerships with the Northeast Florida Medical Society as well as the Duval County Medical Society. So we never have a problem with placing our aspiring medical professionals in that safe professional environment that directly aligns with their career aspiration. Other community partners are JEA. JEA, they actually mentor our engineers. We also have Jacobs Engineering that interns or mentors our engineers. We have Cox Media. They actually mentor our film director. Riverside Animal Hospital, Dr. Rossi, he takes all of our veterinarians. We have Client Focused Media. They take our journalists. And this year we have a film editor and a personal relations professional that are at Client Focused Media. So the list goes on. We have quite an extensive listing of community partners, so it's never an issue in terms of placing students. Oftentimes, parents ask, and sometimes students ask, "Well, what jobs do you have?" And then we have to explain to them, we don't have a certain job for the students because it's very focused on the student's career aspiration. So whatever it is the student think they want to become, if they do well in the program, we guarantee them a safe professional environment that directly aligns with that career aspiration.
And I love how you have your hands in so many different areas, like everything from medical to journalist to veterinarian, so many different realms. And I know that you guys also offer scholarship funds.
Oh, thank you so much for bringing that up. Yeah, so we offer 5 different scholarships every year, and the scholarships are totally separate from the summer internship program. Now, participants of the summer internship program can definitely apply for the scholarships, but the scholarships are open to even those who do not participate in the summer internship program. The scholarships are for graduating seniors, so you must be a recent graduate. This year, you must have graduated, 2021 graduate. And if you go to our website, again, that website is www.sowingseeds.today. Click on our scholarship tab, and you'll see all five scholarships and the eligibility criteria associated with them. The monetary range for the scholarships are anywhere from $500 to $1,000 each. So definitely, if you just recently graduated and you need some extra money for college, go to our website and apply. I tell you, last year, there was one scholarship where no one applied, so we had to recycle that money, and we don't like doing that. We really want to give the money away. So if you're interested in money and you just recently graduated, please go to the website and apply for one of the many scholarships that are available.
How are you guys able to give away all that money? Are you guys funded, like, privately, or are you in need of donations?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. So our programs and services, they're funded by grants, corporate sponsors, and private or individual donors. So if you're listening and these programs are exciting to you and you want to see us continue to sustain the program, please go to the website and make a donation or contribution or give me a call. My number is 904-200-7202. I'll say that again, 904-200-7202. And we can definitely discuss some options in terms of how you can support the foundation or any one of the three programs that I just mentioned.
And Dee, are you also in need of different businesses to partner with? Like, say someone's interested in radio, and here I am in radio. Like, are you in need of finding more connections?
I am always in need of making some good connections and adding community partners to our list. This summer, we had two students, and we've never before had these career aspirations. We had a young man who's interested in sports medicine and a young man who's interested in sports management. As a result of that, we had to foster some relationships because we promised them a job.
Yeah.
Right, this summer. So the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp joined our community partner list, the Jacksonville Giants, and the Jacksonville Sharks. So those are our three newest community partners, and we're so excited to have them. But to your point, Kobe, if you're listening and you'd love to be a part of this amazing program, please give me a call, and let's talk about adding you to our list of community partners as well.
And also, I know there's private funding through the Annie Ruth Foundation, but do you also have any fundraisers that are coming up or anything else that we can look forward to?
Yes, thank you so much for that. So we just recently had our fundraiser. It's called The Royal Treatment. The Royal Treatment came about as a result of COVID. So to fund the summer internship program, we get all of the participants involved, and we have an annual fashion show at the Schultz Center. But because of COVID, we couldn't have that fashion show. So again, we did a pivot, and we did The Royal Treatment, and that was in April. So that was our fundraiser for the year. But I would love, again, for the listening audience to just go to our website, send us a note, let us know that you're wanting to support the program, and we can figure out all types of ways that you can do that.
Well, again, Dee, let us know the best website, whether we want to sign up for these scholarships or the summer internship program, or if we want to kind of get connected with the Stay Healthy or the club organization. There's so many different things we can get a part of. What's the best way to find out more information and stay in contact with you?
Thank you, Kobe, for that. So our website is www.sowingseeds, that's sowingseeds.today, www.sowingseeds.today. And the telephone number is 904-200-7202.
And finally, Dee, is there anything specific you need from your neighbors? Because you do so much for the community here.
So I think the one thing that I need from our neighbors is just what we talked about. Go to the website and reach out to us. Let us know how you'd like to support us, specifically the summer internship program. Applications are currently being accepted. High school graduates 2021, if you have a need for extra money, go to that website and apply for the scholarships. And then, of course, the community, if you're interested in supporting our health and wellness initiative, as well as our club program, again, please go to the website, reach out to us, let us know, and we'll reach out to you and make it happen.
Okay, Dee, thank you so much for everything you do and for being such a great neighbor in our neighborhood.
Thank you so much, Kobe. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week, and if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio.